ప్రభు నిత్యానందైతాసీ
And now chapter 4 of the Adi Leela. By the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even a foolish child can fully describe the real nature of Lord Krishna, the enjoyer of the pastimes of Vraj, according to the vision of the revealed scriptures. All glory to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glory to Lord Nityananda. All glory to Sri Advaitacharya. And all glory to the devotees of Lord Chaitanya. I have described the meaning of the fourth verse. Now, O devotees, kindly hear the explanation of the fifth verse. Just to explain the original verse, I shall first suggest its meaning. I have given the essential meaning of the fourth verse. This incarnation descends to propagate the chanting of the holy name and spread love of God. Although this is true, this is but the external reason for the Lord's incarnation. Please hear one other reason, the confidential reason, for the Lord's appearance. The scriptures proclaim that Lord Krishna previously descended to take away the burden of the earth. To take away this burden, however, is not the work of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The maintainer, Lord Vishnu, is the one who protects the universe. But the time to lift the burden of the world mixed with the time for the Lord's incarnation. When the complete Supreme Personality of Godhead descends, all other incarnations of the Lord meet together within Him. Lord Narayan, the four primary expansions, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha, Matsya, and the other Leela incarnations, the Yuga avatars and the Manvantara incarnations, and as many other incarnations as there are, they all descend in the body of Lord Krishna. In this way, the complete Supreme Godhead, Lord Krishna Himself, appears. At that time, therefore, Lord Vishnu is present in the body of Lord Krishna, and Lord Krishna kills the demons through him. Thus, the killing of the demons is but secondary work. I shall now speak of the main reason for the Lord's incarnation. The Lord's desire to appear was born from two reasons. He wanted to taste the sweet essence of the mellows of love of God, and he wanted to propagate devotional service in the world on the platform of spontaneous attraction. Thus he is known as supremely jubilant and as the most merciful of all. The Lord Himself says, "All the universe is filled with the conception of My majesty, but love weakened by that sense of majesty does not satisfy Me. If one regards Me as the Supreme Lord and Himself as a subordinate, I do not become subservient to His love, nor can it control Me. In whatever transcendental mellow My devotee worships Me, I reciprocate with him. That is My natural behavior. In whatever way My devotees surrender unto Me, I reward him accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Pritha. If one cherishes pure, loving devotion to me, thinking of me as his son, his friend, or his beloved, regarding himself as great and considering me his equal or inferior, I become subordinate to him. As I once said to the gopis, devotional service rendered to me by the living beings revives their eternal life. O my dear damsels of Vraja, your affection for me is your good fortune, for it is the only means by which you have obtained my favor. Mother sometimes binds me as her son. She nourishes and protects me, thinking me utterly helpless. My friends climb on my shoulders in pure friendship, saying, "What kind of big man are you? You and I are equal." If my beloved consort reproaches me in a sulky mood, that steals my mind from the reverent hymns of the Vedas. Taking these pure devotees with me, I shall descend and sport in various wonderful ways unknown even in Vaikuntha. I shall broadcast such pastimes by which even I am amazed. The influence of Yogamaya will inspire the gopis with the sentiment that I am their paramour. Neither the gopis nor I shall notice this, for our minds will always be entranced by one another's beauty and qualities. Pure attachment will unite us even at the expense of moral and religious duties. Destiny will sometimes bring us together and sometimes separate us. I shall taste the essence of all these rasas, and in this way I shall favor all the devotees. Then, by hearing about the pure love of the residents of Vraj, devotees will worship me on the path of spontaneous love, abandoning all rituals of religiosity and fruitive activity. As it is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna manifests his eternal human-like form and performs his pastimes to show mercy to the devotees. Having heard such pastimes, one should engage in service to him. Here the use of the verb bhave, which is the imperative mood, tells us that this certainly must be done. Non-compliance would be abandonment of duty. Just as these desires are the fundamental reason for Krishna's appearance, whereas destroying the demons is only an incidental necessity, so for Sri Krishna Chaitanya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, promulgating the Dharma of the age is incidental. When the Lord desired to appear for another reason, the time for promulgating the religion of the age also arose. Thus, with two intentions, the Lord appeared with his devotees and tasted the nectar of prema, or divine love, with the congregational chanting of the holy name. Thus he spread kirtan even among the untouchables. He wove a wreath of the holy name and prema with which he garlanded the entire material world. In this way, assuming the sentiment of a devotee, he preached devotional service while practicing it himself. Four kinds of devotees are the receptacles of the four kinds of mellows in love of God, namely, servitude, friendship, parental affection, and conjugal love. Each kind of devotee feels that his sentiment is the most excellent, and thus in that mood he tastes great happiness with Lord Krishna. But if we compare the sentiments in an impartial mood, we find that the conjugal sentiment is superior to all in sweetness. Increasing love is experienced in various tastes, one above another. But that love which has the highest taste in the gradual succession of desire, manifests itself in the form of conjugal love. Therefore, I call it Madhura Ras. It has two further divisions, namely wedded and unwedded love. There is a great increase of mellow in the unwedded conjugal mood. Such love is found nowhere but in Vraj. This mood is unbounded in the damsels of Vraj, but among them it finds its perfection in Sri Radha. Her pure, mature love surpasses that of all others. Her love is the cause of Lord Krishna's tasting the sweetness of the conjugal relationship. Therefore, Lord Gauranga, who is Sri Hari himself, accepted the sentiments of Radha and thus fulfilled his own desires. Lord Chaitanya is the shelter of the demigods, the goal of the Upanishads, the be-all and end-all of the great sages, the beautiful shelter of his devotees, and the essence of love for the lotus-eyed gopis. Will he again be the object of my vision? Lord Krishna desired to taste the limitless nectarine mellows of the love of one of his multitude of loving damsels, Sri Radha. And so he has assumed the form of Lord Chaitanya. He has tasted that love while hiding his own dark complexion with her effulgent yellow color. May that Lord Chaitanya confer upon us his grace. To accept ecstatic love is the main reason he appeared and re-established the religious system for this age. I shall now explain that reason. Everyone, please listen. Having first given hints about the verse describing the principal reason why the Lord appeared, now I shall manifest its full meaning. The loving affairs of Sri Radha and Krishna are transcendental manifestations of the Lord's internal pleasure-giving potency. Although Radha and Krishna are one in their identity, they separated themselves eternally. Now these two transcendental identities have again united in the form of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. I bow down to him who has manifested himself with the sentiment and complexion of Srimati Radharani, although he is Krishna himself. Radha and Krishna are one and the same, but they have assumed two bodies. Thus they enjoy each other, tasting the mellows of love. Now to enjoy Ras, they have appeared in one body as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, I shall first delineate the position of Radha and Krishna. From that, the glory of Lord Chaitanya will be known. Srimati Radhika is the transformation of Krishna's love. She is his internal energy called Ladini. That Ladini energy gives Krishna pleasure and nourishes his devotees. Lord Krishna's body is eternal, or sat, full of knowledge, or chit, and full of bliss, or ananda. His one spiritual energy manifests three forms. Ladini is his aspect of bliss, Sandini of eternal existence, and Samvit of cognizance, which is also accepted as knowledge. In the Vishnu Purana it is said, O Lord, you are the support of everything. The three attributes of Ladini, Sandini, and Samvit exist in you as one spiritual energy. But the material modes, which cause happiness, misery, and mixtures of the two, do not exist in you, for you have no material qualities. The essential portion of the Sandini potency is Shuddha Sattva, or pure goodness. Lord Krishna's existence rests upon it. Krishna's mother, father, abode, house, bedding, seats, and so on, are all transformations of Shuddha Sattva. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Shiva said, "The condition of pure goodness, or Shuddha Sattva, in which the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears uncovered, is called Vasudeva. In that pure state, the Supreme Godhead, who is beyond the material senses, and who is known as Vasudeva, is perceived by my mind." The essence of the Samvit potency is knowledge that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Lord Krishna. All other kinds of knowledge, such as the knowledge of Brahman, are its components. The essence of the Ladini potency is love of God. The essence of love of God is emotion or bhav. And the ultimate development of emotion is mahabhav. Sri Radha Thakurani is the embodiment of mahabhav. She is the repository of all good qualities and the crest jewel among all the lovely consorts of Lord Krishna. Of these two gopis, Radharani and Chandravali, Srimati Radharani is superior in all respects. She is the embodiment of mahabhav, and she surpasses all in good qualities. Her mind, senses, and body are steeped in love for Krishna. She is Krishna's own energy, and she helps him in his pastimes. In the Brahma Samhita it is said, "I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who resides in his own realm, Golok, with Radha, who resembles his own spiritual figure, and who embodies the ecstatic potency, Ladini. Their companions are her confidants, who embody extensions of her bodily form, and who are imbued and permeated with ever-blissful spiritual ras." Now please listen to how Lord Krishna's consorts help him taste ras, and how they help in his pastimes. The beloved consorts of Lord Krishna are of three kinds: the goddesses of fortune, the queens, and the milkmaids of Vraj, who are the foremost of all. These consorts all proceed from Radhika. Just as the fountainhead, Lord Krishna, is the cause of all incarnations, so Sri Radha is the cause of all these consorts. The goddesses of fortune are partial manifestations of Srimati Radhika, and the queens are reflections of her image. The goddesses of fortune are her plenary portions, and they display the forms of Vaibhav Vilas. The queens are of the nature of her Vaibhav Prakash. The Vraj Devis have diverse bodily features. They are her expansions, and are the instruments for expanding Ras. Without many consorts, there is not such exaltation in Ras. Therefore, there are many manifestations of Srimati Radharani to assist in the Lord's pastimes. Among them are various groups of consorts in Vraj, who have varieties of sentiments and mellows. They help Lord Krishna taste all the sweetness of the Ras dance and other pastimes. Radha is the one who gives pleasure to Govinda, and she is also the enchantress of Govinda. She is the be-all and end-all of Govinda, and the crest jewel of all his consorts. The transcendental goddess Srimati Radharani is the direct counterpart of Lord Sri Krishna. She is the central figure for all the goddesses of fortune. She possesses all the attractiveness to attract the all-attractive personality of Godhead. She is the primeval internal potency of the Lord. Devi means resplendent and most beautiful, or else it means the lovely abode of the worship and love sports of Lord Krishna. Krishna Mayi means one whose within and without are Lord Krishna. She sees Lord Krishna wherever she casts her glance. Or she is identical with Lord Krishna, for she embodies the mellows of love. The energy of Lord Krishna is identical with him. Her worship consists of fulfilling the desires of Lord Krishna. Therefore, the Puranas call her Radhika. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the gopis said, "Truly the personality of Godhead has been worshipped by her. Therefore Lord Govinda, being pleased, has brought her to a lonely spot, leaving us all behind." Therefore Radha is Parama Devata, the supreme goddess, and she is worshipable for everyone. She is the protectress of all, and she is the mother of the entire universe. I have already explained the meaning of Sarva Lakshmi. Radha is the original source of all the goddesses of fortune. Or Sarva Lakshmi indicates that she fully represents the six opulences of Krishna. Therefore, she is the supreme energy of Lord Krishna. The word Sarva Kunti indicates that all beauty and luster rest in her body. All the Lakshmis derive their beauty from her. Kunti may also mean all the desires of Lord Krishna. All the desires of Lord Krishna rest in Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radhika fulfills all the desires of Lord Krishna. This is the meaning of Sarva Kanti. Lord Krishna enchants the world, but Sri Radha enchants even him. Therefore, she is the supreme goddess of all. Sri Radha is the full power, and Lord Krishna is the possessor of full power. The two are not different, as evidenced by the revealed scriptures. They are indeed the same, just as musk and its scent are inseparable, or as fire and its heat are non-different. Thus Radha and Lord Krishna are one, yet they have taken two forms to enjoy the mellows of pastimes. To promulgate prema bhakti, or devotional service in love of Godhead, Krishna appeared as Sri Krishna Chaitanya, with the mood and complexion of Sri Radha. Thus I have explained the meaning of the fifth verse. To explain the sixth verse, I shall first give a hint of its meaning. The Lord came to propagate Sankirtan. That is an external purpose, as I have already indicated. There is a principal cause for Lord Krishna's appearance. It grows from his own engagements as the foremost enjoyer of loving exchanges. That most confidential cause is threefold. Svarup Damodar has revealed it. Svarup Goswami is the most intimate associate of the Lord. He therefore knows all these topics well. The heart of Lord Chaitanya is the image of Sri Radhika's emotions. Thus feelings of pleasure and pain arise constantly therein. In the final portion of his pastimes, Lord Chaitanya was obsessed with the madness of separation from Lord Krishna. He acted in erroneous ways and talked deliriously. Just as Radhika went mad at the sight of Uddhava, so Lord Chaitanya was obsessed day and night with the madness of separation. At night, he talked incoherently in grief, with his arms around Svarup Damodar's neck. He spoke out his heart in ecstatic inspiration. Whenever a particular sentiment arose in his heart, Svarup Damodar satisfied him by singing songs or reciting verses of the same nature. To analyze these pastimes is not necessary now. Later I shall describe them in detail. Formerly in Vraj, Lord Krishna displayed three ages, namely childhood, boyhood, and adolescence. His adolescence is especially significant. Parental affection made his childhood fruitful. His boyhood was successful with his friends. In youth, he tasted the essence of Ras, fulfilling his desires in pastimes like the Ras dance with Srimati Radhika and the other gopis. In his youth, Lord Krishna made all three of his ages and the entire universe successful by his pastimes of amorous love like the Ras dance. Lord Madhusudan enjoyed his youth with pastimes on autumn nights in the midst of the jewel-like milkmaids. Thus, he dispelled all the misfortunes of the world. Lord Krishna made Srimati Radharani close her eyes in shame before her friends by his words relating their amorous activities on the previous night. Then he showed the highest limit of cleverness in drawing pictures of dolphins in various playful sports on her breasts. In this way, Lord Hari made his youth successful by performing pastimes in the bushes with Sri Radha and her friends. In the Vidagdha Madhava, Srila Rupa Goswami wrote, O Purnamasi, if Lord Hari had not descended in Mathura with Srimati Radharani, this entire creation, and especially Cupid, the demigod of love, would have been useless. Even though Lord Krishna, the abode of all mellows, had previously in this way chewed the essence of the mellows of love, still, he was unable to fulfill three desires, although he made efforts to taste them. I shall explain his first desire. Krishna says, I am the primary cause of all rasas. I am the full spiritual truth and am made of full joy. But the love of Srimati Radharani drives me mad. I do not know the strength of Radha's love, with which he always overwhelms me. The love of Radhika is my teacher, and I am her dancing pupil. Her prema, or love, makes me dance various novel dances. In the Govinda Lilamrita of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Sri Radha said to Vrinda,
Oh, my beloved Vrinda, where are you coming from?
I am coming from the feet of Sri Hari.
And where is he?
In the forest on the bank of Radhakund.
What is he doing there?
He is learning dancing.
Oh, and who is his master?
Your image, Radha, revealing itself in every tree and creeper, in every direction, is roaming like a skillful dancer, making him dance behind.
And Sri Krishna said, Whatever pleasure I get from tasting my love for Srimati Radharani, she tastes 10 million times more than me by her love. Just as I am the abode of all mutually contradictory characteristics, so Radha's love is always full of similar contradictions. Radha's love is all-pervading, leaving no room for expansion, but still it is expanding constantly. There is certainly nothing greater than her love, but her love is devoid of pride. That is the sign of its greatness. Nothing is purer than her love, but its behavior is always perverse and crooked. In the Dhanakeli Komudi of Srila Rupa Goswami, he says, All glories to Radha's love for Krishna, the enemy of the demon Mura. Although it is all-pervading, it tends to increase at every moment. Although it is important, it is devoid of pride. And although it is pure, it is always beset with duplicity. Again, Sri Krishna said, Sri Radhika is the highest abode of that love, and I am its only object. I taste the bliss to which the object of love is entitled. But the pleasure of Radha, the abode of that love, is 10 million times greater. My mind races to taste the pleasure experienced by the abode, but I cannot taste it, even by my best efforts. Oh, how may I taste it? If sometime I can be the abode of that love, only then may I taste its joy. Thinking in this way, Lord Krishna was curious to taste that love. His eager desire for that love increasingly blazed in his heart. That is one desire. Now please hear of another. Seeing his own beauty, Lord Krishna began to consider, My sweetness is wonderful, infinite, and full. No one in the three worlds can find its limit. Only Radhika, by the strength of her love, tastes all the nectar of my sweetness. Although Radha's love is pure like a mirror, its purity increases at every moment. My sweetness also has no room for expansion, yet it shines before that mirror in newer and newer beauty. There is constant competition between my sweetness and the mirror of Radha's love. They both go on increasing, but neither knows defeat. My sweetness is always newer and newer. Devotees taste it according to their own respective love. If I see my sweetness in a mirror, I am tempted to taste it, but nevertheless, I cannot. If I deliberate on a way to taste it, I find that I hanker for the position of Radhika. Who manifests an abundance of sweetness greater than mine, which has never been experienced before, and which causes wonder to all? Alas, I myself, my mind bewildered upon seeing this beauty, impetuously desire to enjoy it like Srimati Radharani. The beauty of Krishna has one natural strength. It thrills the hearts of all men and women, beginning with the Lord Himself. All minds are attracted by hearing His sweet voice and flute, or by seeing His beauty. Even Lord Krishna Himself makes efforts to taste that sweetness. The thirst of one who always drinks the nectar of that sweetness is never satisfied. Rather, that thirst increases constantly. Such a person, being unsatisfied, begins to blaspheme Lord Brahma, saying that he does not know the art of creating well and is simply inexperienced. He has not given millions of eyes to see the beauty of Krishna. He has given only two eyes. And even those eyes blink. Oh, how shall I see the lovely face of Krishna? In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the gopis say, Oh Krishna, when you go to the forest during the day, and we do not see your sweet face, which is surrounded by beautiful curling hairs, half a second becomes as long as an entire age for us.
when we consider the Creator, who has put eyelids on the eyes we use for seeing you, to be simply a fool.
The gopis saw their beloved Krishna at Kurukshetra after a long separation. They secured and embraced him in their hearts through their eyes, and they attained a joy so intense that not even perfect yogis can attain it. The gopis cursed the Creator for creating eyelids that interfered with their vision. There is no other consummation for the eyes than the sight of Krishna. Whoever sees him is most fortunate indeed. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the gopis say,
"O friends, those eyes that see the beautiful faces of the sons of Maharaj Nanda, oh, they are certainly fortunate. As these two sons enter the forest, surrounded by their friends, driving the cows before them, they hold their flutes to their mouths and glance lovingly upon the residents of Vrindavan. For those who have eyes, we think there is no greater object of vision."
And the women of Mathura said,
"What austerities must the gopis have performed? With their eyes they always drink the nectar of the face of Lord Krishna, which is the essence of loveliness and is not to be equaled or surpassed. Oh, that loveliness is the only abode of beauty, fame, and opulence. It is self-perfect, ever fresh, and extremely rare."
The sweetness of Lord Krishna is unprecedented, and its strength is also unprecedented. Simply by hearing of such beauty, the mind becomes unsteady. Lord Krishna's own beauty attracts Lord Krishna himself. But because he cannot fully enjoy it, his mind remains full of sorrow. This is a description of his second desire. Now please listen as I describe the third. The conclusion of Ras is extremely deep. Only Svarup Damodar knows much about it. Anyone else who claims to know it must have heard it from him, for he was the most intimate companion of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The love of the gopis is called Rudha Bhav. It is pure and spotless. It is not at any time lust. The pure love of the gopis has become celebrated by the name lust. The dear devotees of the Lord, headed by Sri Uddhava, desire to taste that love. Lust and love have different characteristics, just as iron and gold have different natures. The desire to gratify one's own senses is kama, or lust, but the desire to please the senses of Lord Krishna is prema, or love. The object of lust is only the enjoyment of one's own senses, but love caters to the enjoyment of Lord Krishna, and thus it is very powerful. Social customs, scriptural injunctions, bodily demands, fruitive action, shyness, patience, bodily pleasures, self-gratification, and the path of Varnashram Dharma, which is difficult to give up, the gopis have forsaken all these, as well as their own relatives, and their punishment and scolding for the sake of serving Lord Krishna. They render loving service to him for the sake of his enjoyment. That is called firm attachment to Lord Krishna. It is spotlessly pure, like a clean cloth that has no stain. Therefore, lust and love are quite different. Lust is like dense darkness. But love is like the bright sun. Thus, there is not the slightest taint of lust in the gopis' love. Their relationship with Krishna is only for the sake of his enjoyment. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, one gopi said,
O dearly beloved, your lotus feet are so soft that we place them gently on our breasts, fearing that your feet will be hurt. Our life rests only in you. Our minds, therefore, are filled with anxiety that your tender feet might be wounded by pebbles as you roam about on the forest path.
The gopis do not care for their own pleasures or pains. All their physical and mental activities are directed toward offering enjoyment to Lord Krishna. They renounced everything for Krishna. They have pure attachment to giving Krishna pleasure. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Krishna said, O my beloved gopis, you have renounced social customs, scriptural injunctions, and your relatives for my sake. I disappeared behind you only to increase your concentration upon me. Since I disappeared for your benefit, you should not be displeased with me. Lord Krishna has a promise from before to reciprocate with his devotees according to the way they worship him. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna said, In whatever way my devotees surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Pritha. That promise has been broken by the worship of the gopis, as Lord Krishna himself admits. O gopis, I am not able to repay my debt for your spotless service, even within a lifetime of Brahma. Your connection with me is beyond reproach. You have worshipped me, cutting off all domestic ties, which are difficult to break. Therefore, please let your own glorious deeds be your compensation. This he said in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, whatever affection we see the gopis show in their own bodies, know it for certain to be only for the sake of Lord Krishna. The gopis think, I have offered this body to Lord Krishna. He is its owner, and it brings him enjoyment. Krishna finds joy in seeing and touching this body. It is for this reason that they cleanse and decorate their bodies. Lord Krishna said in the Adi Purana, O Arjuna, there are no greater receptacles of deep love for me than the gopis, who cleanse and decorate their bodies because they consider them mine. There is another wonderful feature of the emotion of the gopis. Its power is beyond the comprehension of the intelligence. When the gopis see Lord Krishna, they derive unbounded bliss, although they have no desire for such pleasure. The gopis taste a pleasure 10 million times greater than the pleasure Lord Krishna derives from seeing them. The gopis have no inclination for their own enjoyment, and yet their joy increases. That is indeed a contradiction. For this contradiction, I see only one solution. The joy of the gopis lies in the joy of their beloved Krishna. When Lord Krishna sees the gopis, his joy increases, and his unparalleled sweetness increases also. The gopis think, Krishna has obtained so much pleasure from seeing me. That thought increases the fullness and beauty of their faces and bodies. The beauty of Lord Krishna increases at the sight of the beauty of the gopis. And the more the gopis see Lord Krishna's beauty, the more their beauty increases. In this way, a competition takes place between them in which no one acknowledges defeat. Krishna, however, derives pleasure from the beauty and good qualities of the gopis. And when the gopis see his pleasure, the joy of the gopis increases. Therefore, we find that the joy of the gopis nourishes the joy of Lord Krishna. For that reason, the fault of lust is not present in their love. Srila Rupa Goswami has said in his Stavamala, "I worship Lord Keshava. Coming back from the forest of Vraj, he is worshipped by the gopis, who mount the roofs of their palaces and meet him on the path with 100 manners of dancing glances and gentle smiles. The corners of his eyes wander like large black bees around the gopis' breasts." There is another natural symptom of the gopis' love that shows it to be without a trace of lust. The love of the gopis nourishes the sweetness of Lord Krishna. That sweetness in turn increases their love, for they are greatly satisfied. The happiness of the abode of love is in the happiness of the object of that love. This is not a relationship of desire for personal gratification. Whenever there is unselfish love, that is its style. The reservoir of love derives pleasure when the lovable object is pleased. When the pleasure of love interferes with the service of Lord Krishna, the devotee becomes angry towards such ecstasy. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is said, "Sri Daruka did not relish his ecstatic feelings of love, for they caused his limbs to be stunned and thus obstructed his service of fanning Lord Krishna." The lotus-eyed Radharani powerfully condemned the ecstatic love that caused a flow of tears that hindered her sight of Govinda. Furthermore, pure devotees never forsake the loving service of Lord Krishna to aspire for their own personal pleasure through the five kinds of liberation. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Krishna said, "Just as the celestial waters of the Ganges flow unobstructed into the ocean, so when my devotees simply hear of me, their minds come to me who resides in the hearts of all." These are the characteristics of transcendental loving service to Purushottam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is causeless, and it cannot be obstructed in any way. My devotees do not accept Salokya, Sarshti, Sarupya, Samipya, or oneness with me, even if I offer these liberations in preference to serving me. My devotees, having fulfilled their desires by serving me, do not accept the four kinds of salvation that are easily earned by such service. Why then should they accept any pleasures that are lost in the course of time? The natural love of the gopis is devoid of any trace of lust. It is faultless, bright, and pure, like molten gold. The gopis are helpers, teachers, friends, wives, dear disciples, confidants, and serving maids of Lord Krishna. In the Gopi Premamrita, Lord Krishna said, "O Partha, I speak to you the truth. The gopis are my helpers, teachers, disciples, servants, friends, and consorts. I do not know what they are not to me." The gopis know Krishna's desires, and they know how to render perfect loving service for his enjoyment. They perform their service expertly for the satisfaction of their beloved. Krishna said in the Adi Purana, O Partha, the gopis know my greatness, my loving service, respect for me, and my mentality. Others cannot really know these. Among the gopis, Srimati Radhika is the foremost. She surpasses all in beauty, in good qualities, in good fortune, and above all, in love. Just as Radha is dear to Lord Krishna, so her bathing place, Radha Kund, is dear to him. She alone is his most beloved of all the gopis. Again, in the Adi Purana, Krishna says, O Partha, in all the three planetary systems, this earth is especially fortunate, for on earth is the town of Vrindavan. And there, the gopis are especially glorious, because among them is my Srimati Radharani. All the other gopis help increase the joy of Krishna's pastimes with Radharani. The gopis act as the instruments of their mutual enjoyment. Radha is the beloved consort of Krishna, and she is the wealth of his life. Without her, the gopis cannot give him pleasure. In the Gita Govind, Jayadev Goswami has said, Lord Krishna, the enemy of Kamsa, left aside the other gopis during the Ras dance and took Srimati Radharani to his heart, for she is the helper of the Lord in realizing the essence of his desires. Lord Chaitanya appeared with the sentiment of Radha. He preached the Dharma of this age, the chanting of the holy name and pure love of God. In the mood of Srimati Radharani, he also fulfilled his own desires. This is the principal reason for his appearance. Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya is Krishna, or Vrajendra Kumara, the embodiment of rasas. He is amorous love personified. He made his appearance to taste that conjugal mellow and incidentally to broadcast all the rasas. In the Gita Govind, someone says, My dear friends, just see how Sri Krishna is enjoying the season of spring. With the gopis embracing each of his limbs, he is like amorous love personified. With his transcendental pastimes, he enlivens all the gopis and the entire creation. With his soft, bluish-black arms and legs, which resemble blue lotus flowers, he has created a festival for Cupid. Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya is the abode of Ras. He himself tasted the sweetness of Ras in endless ways. Thus he initiated the Dharma for the age of Kali. The devotees of Lord Chaitanya know all these truths. Advaita Acharya, Nityananda, Srivas Pandit, Gadadhar, Svarup Damodar, Murari Gupta, Haridas, and all the other devotees of Sri Krishna Chaitanya, bowing down with devotion, I hold their lotus feet on my head. I have given a hint of the sixth verse. Now please hear as I reveal the meaning of that original verse. Desiring to understand the glory of Radharani's love, the wonderful qualities in him that she alone relishes through her love, and the happiness she feels when she realizes the sweetness of his love, the Supreme Lord Hari richly endowed with her emotions, appears from the womb of Srimati Shachi Devi, as the moon appears from the ocean. All these conclusions are unfit to disclose in public. But if they are not disclosed, no one will understand them. Therefore, I shall mention them, revealing only their essence, so that loving devotees will understand them, but fools will not. Anyone who has captured Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda Prabhu in his heart will become blissful by hearing these transcendental conclusions. All these conclusions are like the newly grown twigs of a mango tree. They are always pleasing to the devotees, who in this way resemble cuckoo birds. The camel-like non-devotees cannot enter into these topics. Therefore, there is special jubilation in my heart. For fear of them, I do not wish to speak, but if they do not understand, then what can be happier in all the three worlds? Therefore, after offering obeisances to the devotees for their satisfaction, I shall speak without hesitating. Once Lord Krishna considered within his heart, "Everyone says that I am complete bliss, full of all rasas. All the world derives pleasure from me. Is there anyone who can give me pleasure? One who has 100 times more qualities than me could give pleasure to my mind. One more qualified than me is impossible to find in the world. But in Radha alone, I feel the presence of one who can give me pleasure. Although my beauty defeats the beauty of 10 million cupids, although it is unequaled and unsurpassed, and although it gives pleasure to the three worlds, seeing Radharani gives pleasure to my eyes. The vibration of my transcendental flute attracts the three worlds, but my ears are enchanted by the sweet words of Srimati Radharani. Although my body lends fragrance to the entire creation, the scent of Radharani's limbs captivates my mind and heart. Although the entire creation is full of different tastes because of me, I am charmed by the nectarine taste of the lips of Srimati Radharani. And although my touch is cooler than 10 million moons, I am refreshed by the touch of Srimati Radhika. Thus, although I am the source for the happiness of the entire world, the beauty and attributes of Sri Radhika are my life and soul. In this way, my affectionate feelings for Srimati Radharani may be understood, but on analysis, I find them contradictory. My eyes are fully satisfied when I look upon Srimati Radharani, but by looking upon me, she becomes even more advanced in satisfaction. The flute-like murmur of the bamboos rubbing against one another steals Radharani's consciousness, for she thinks it to be the sound of my flute, and she embraces a tamal tree, mistaking it for me. I have gotten the embrace of Sri Krishna, she thinks, so now my life is fulfilled. Thus she remains immersed in pleasing me, taking the tree in her arms. When a favorable breeze carries to her the fragrance of my body, she is blinded by love and tries to fly into that breeze. When she tastes the betel chewed by me, she merges in an ocean of joy and forgets everything else. Even with hundreds of mouths, I could not express the transcendental pleasure she derives from my association. Seeing the luster of her complexion after our pastimes together, I forget my own identity in happiness. The sage Bodit has said that the mellows of lover and beloved are equal, but he does not know the mellows of my Vrindavan. The happiness I feel when meeting Radharani is 100 times greater than the happiness I get from meeting others. My dear auspicious Radharani, your body is the source of all beauty. Your red lips are softer than the scents of immortal sweetness. Your face bears the aroma of a lotus flower. Your sweet words defeat the vibrations of a cuckoo. And your limbs are cooler than the pulp of sandalwood. All my transcendental senses are overwhelmed in ecstatic pleasure by tasting you, who are completely decorated by beautiful qualities. In the Lalita Madhava, Srila Rupa Goswami describes the countenance of Radharani. Her eyes are enchanted by the beauty of Lord Krishna, the enemy of Kamsa. Her body thrills in pleasure at his touch. Her ears are always attracted to his sweet voice. Her nostrils are enchanted by his fragrance. And her tongue hankers for the nectar of his soft lips. She hangs down her lotus-like face, exercising self-control only by pretense. But she cannot help showing the external signs of her spontaneous love for Lord Krishna. And Sri Krishna says, considering this, I can understand that some unknown mellow in me controls the entire existence of my captivator, Srimati Radharani. I am always eager to taste the joy that Radharani derives from me. In spite of various efforts, I have not been able to taste it. But my desire to relish that pleasure increases as I smell its sweetness. I have appeared in the world to taste mellows. I shall taste the mellows of pure love in various ways. I shall teach devotional service, which springs from spontaneous love of the devotees, by demonstrating it myself with my pastimes. But these three desires have not been satisfied, for one cannot enjoy them in a contrary position. Unless I accept the luster of the ecstatic love of Sri Radhika, these three desires cannot be fulfilled. Therefore, assuming Radharani's sentiments and bodily complexion, I shall descend to fulfill these three desires. In this way, Lord Krishna came to a decision. Simultaneously, the time came for the incarnation of the age. At that time, Sri Advaita was earnestly worshipping him. Advaita attracted him with his loud calls. First, Lord Krishna made his parents and elders appear. Then Krishna himself, with the sentiments and complexion of Radhika, appeared in Navadvip, like the full moon from the womb of Sachi, which is like an ocean of pure milk. Meditating on the lotus feet of Sri Rupa Goswami, I have thus explained the sixth verse. I can support the explanation of these two verses, number 5 and 6 of the first chapter, with Srila Rupa Goswami's verse, which says, Lord Krishna desired to taste the limitless nectarine mellows of the love of one of his multitude of loving damsels, namely Sri Radha. And so he has assumed the form of Lord Chaitanya. He has tasted that love while hiding his own dark complexion with her effulgent yellow color. May that Lord Chaitanya confer upon us his grace. Thus, the auspicious invocation, the essential nature of the truth of Lord Chaitanya, and the need for his appearance have been set forth in 6 verses. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. This ends chapter 4 of the Adi Lila.